Morning to you, Antonio.
Good morning, Giles. All good?
All good, yeah. We're still pointing the right way up after August, so that can't be... You managed to survive the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, not to mention summer in on the Costa del Sol?
That's right, I did. I've got nowhere. I've stayed home and working, and that's it. So no holidays for me this year.
Yeah, every day. Yes, indeed. Every day is a holiday for me. But let's move on quickly, because this is a subject that is dear to the hearts and concerning several of our listeners, several hundreds of our listeners, I suppose. It's owners versus squatters' rights, and this has been an ongoing thing where it seems that, in this case, normally for the Spanish authorities tend to be on the sides of the occupas.
Occupas, yeah. You know, this is a very complex subject, a topic. And I'd say that the funny thing of all of this is that in Spain, technically, squatters have no rights because they do not have any rights. There's no protection for squatters other than the fact that they are allowed a due process, okay? But of course, the due process in Spain could be a year. It could be a bit more. So that's where the problems lie. But anyway, the issue here is that there is a very complex relationship between the squatters' rights or not, the owners' rights, the courts, the police, the lawyers, the judges personally themselves, who are, as recently as happening, they are providing their own personal opinions, you know. So anyway, I'd like to dispel some fake news.
Okay.
In respect to... What is squatter's rights? Well, the first thing is that they don't really have any rights, okay? A squatter does not have any right by living in a property. The only right they would have is after living 30 years in a property, they could access ownership. Of course, that's very unlikely scenario. But in principle, the thing that we do need to sort of address is a situation where there is a perception in the mostly in the foreign sort of foreign community of residents of Spain that squatters are protected by the courts, as you've mentioned. Okay, they are protected by the courts because they not sort of once they get in, then you can't get them out. You have to go to court, and then it takes time, and then they destroy your house and so on. But things are not so straightforward as it sounds, okay? There's been a judge that has gone to television in the last 2 days, which has become viral, okay? Now, what this man says is that, you know, a squatter moving into someone else's home has absolutely no rights so long as the owner or, you know, the owner of the property or the person who was living in that property straight away goes to the police with some evidence that he was living in that house. If that's the case, they will be arrested immediately and evicted, okay? Because we have seen cases and we have seen situations hiding here. You know, we've heard people that have said that, you know, if you go to the supermarket, you might come back and someone else might be living there.
Right. Okay?
Which means that, you know, you wouldn't be able to go into your own home because someone else is living there and you have to go to court to get them out. That's not the case, okay? That is trespassing. That has specifically... a denomination for that action that is considered to be criminal trespassing, and is pretty much no different than breaking into to steal.
Right.
Okay, so that's how the police would view that.
Yeah.
So, for example, you come down to the radio. When you get back to your house in Istanbul, you find people living there with children. Okay.
Let's imagine that situation.
and they come up and they say, "Oh no, I've got a contract with Giles because they happen to know you or something." You know, yeah. It's this nightmarish situation, whichever way you look at it. Now that situation, if you find yourself in, and you've had like squatters that have actually gone all the way to produce contracts, falsify, you know, you still call the police, and you do need to move quick, just to basically report that to the police, say it's all false. In which case, the protocols say that the police. Not they shouldn't tell you to go to court. No, they should act themselves, get everyone out, take everyone to the police station, and from there on to the courts.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
It's you know that's it, because that situation itself will have consequences for the trespassers, imprisonment.
Yes.
Effectively.
Can I just quickly go on, because there's a thing here. This may be an urban myth, Antonio. Excuse me. Security alarms, burglar licenses. I've been told, or people, I've heard people say, well, if you haven't got a security alarm, you haven't got a burglar alarm, if they get in and nothing goes off, they can stay.
No, well, that's not the case. Again, yeah, that is an urban myth, and And what this judge did is he's trying to get people to understand what the law says, because people are they don't have trust, confidence in the system, because they think that, they're all too relaxed, and what they'll do is, well, go to court and fight it out, you know. But although there may have been situations happening in the country, and those are the ones that hit the headlines, the reality is different. The law does have mechanisms to prevent these sort of actions. Of course, it's not the same to break into a house of someone who's gone to work or gone on holidays and come back and he finds people there, than a house owned by a bank that has been, lying there empty for years. Okay, there is a difference. First of all, because a house owned by a bank is not a home. So long as it's not a home, it's not trespassing.
Right,
it's a different type of criminal count, which is illegal occupation, which carries a lesser sentence. But of course, some of judges say that that's quite on the limit of civil and criminal. So, well, you know, they do have the right to be somewhere, a shelter, and banks have thousands of properties they don't use, so they just might as well just move in, and so long as they don't damage anything. Some judges are lenient, okay, when it comes to those situations. They might even have more consideration or tolerance when there's the children involved. Okay, but we do need to separate when someone owns a property, an individual, private person owns their own home, or one in, second home in a beach or something, which is still a home, even if it's for a temporary occupation, than those properties that are owned by commercial enterprises, with companies or banks.
And let's just draw another line here. This is talking about squatters, like people who break in. This isn't talking about, if you've rented it out to somebody and they refuse to leave. This is a proper sort of break. This is coming through the window or jimmying a door. What about, just quickly, obviously what you shouldn't do is try and remove people yourself, because that's a whole new kettle of pescado, to put it mildly. But also there were these, another urban myth were these groups of, shall we say, rather well-built chaps who would stand outside the house, and they would, as soon as the squatters left the house or stepped foot outside, they would sort of, should we say, persuade them that they should be on their way?
Yeah, they kind of exert a type of coercion, okay, which is a friendly one, not necessarily aggressive, because then they are breaking the law themselves. But, they do make the life of the squatter intolerable to a certain extent. The squatter can't leave with his family, because if they do, then they are the ones who break in, So someone has broken in. So you don't really break into your own home, But again, there are situations the squatters could say that's their home and you've broken into their home. So what they do is they try to put pressure by intimidation and coercion, but without crossing the line of the of the criminal, the dimension of the law.
Yeah.
They stay in the civil side of things, so the squatters could go to court because they can't call the police and say these people are intimidating me if they haven't. They just stand in the door.
Yeah.
They are big built.
Yeah.
As you say, they are intimidating. They're not friendly. And all they do is they just stand guard in the door and wait until the squatters leave, in which case then they take possession of the house. A lot of the time, squatters don't want trouble, and what they do is they just leave and go to somewhere more peaceful, okay? But, these people shouldn't be substituting the role of the police, but if they do end up doing that, it doesn't happen in other places in the world, unfortunately. Mm. It just seems to be a Spanish thing, a very Spanish thing, because of the shortcomings of the Spanish enforcement law.
Got a couple of inquiries coming in here, and I've seen this happen, because I've seen, for example, and Marbella-based, excuse everybody else. In Nueva Andalusia, there are quite a few sort of half-built places, and I've seen squatters move in and redo them. And I've literally put windows and stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I've got a WhatsApp in here, and I'll keep it anonymous. But I'm saying, hi, Giles. I've been living in an abandoned house for 12 years, and I've been rebuilding it. How do I stand? Now that's an interesting one.
That's an interesting one, yeah. That 12 years doesn't give you any right to anything. There's two situations in law which are called usus capion. Okay, it's a Latin terminology from Latin law and Roman law. And effectively says that if you live in a place for a given period of time, then you can end up owning that. 20 years if there's no title to anyone.
Yeah.
And 30 years if the title is registered to someone else. Okay, it's got to be peaceful, unhindered, and continuous possession of a property.
Yeah.
You know, 12 years. Imagine you've got to wait another 8 or another, in the worst case, another 18. Mm. It's a long time to go. So, you know, normally if after 8 years nobody's claimed ownership of that, then it's unlikely. But, of course, that property could be in a community of owners, or the council tax could, for not getting money, you know, due to not getting their payments every year, they could put it for auction, and someone could buy it at auction for a very small amount of money, and they could end up evicting this person. So this person, after 12 years, after all the work he's put in, he could be evicted straight away within months. Okay, so the nightmare situation would then turn to him. You know,
yeah.
So there's no real way. All he has to see is that, you know, he's enjoying a property for a long period of time for free. Okay, which is not a bad thing after all. You know, so it happens. You know, people have died with no children, and properties have lied empty for years.
I mean, especially in these, if you're in a pueblo in the interior of Spain, I mean, there are thousands, aren't there, of abandoned sort of whole villages in some cases. So there have been some, although that seems to be rebuilt. You know, that seems to be reoccupation as a legal matter. Back to if you do find you have uninvited guests, shall we say, squatting in your place. Presumably, you would need the same sort of thing if you could waive a padrón, if you could waive an electricity bill or a utility bill. Not as simply.
Yeah. Okay. So that's sort of the last point of this topic. So it shouldn't be necessary, but we always tell our clients that you need to have something at hand to show that you know you own a property. If this improbable situation ever happened to them, so whether it's an electricity receipt, water receipt, a nota simple, something just to show that you know that person owns a property, just in case you know they come back from wherever, from a long period of holidays, and there's people in the house, which may be the case. Okay, so unlikely, but it could happen. This is, you know, Costa del Sol and Costa Blanca, we've seen everything. So that's one thing to have always handy, something, not necessarily the title deeds, but not a simple, it's just a 1 or 2 page document, and it's very handy. And that's all the data, is their ownership, details of property and everything. So if that was to happen, you know, straight to the police with that document saying someone's in my house, they're robbing my house, they're stealing my house. The story might be different from the other side, but then the police has to then intermediate and then take everyone out of the house, go to court, okay? And then obviously restitute, you know, give back the ownership or the possession, because it's not ownership, what we're discussing is possession, is a right of use at this instance, you know, this juncture, that they're going to be deciding within hours. Okay. Now, one of the things also the law says that, you know, in some cases where people have come back after a year or 2 years and they find people in the house, you know, what they say is, and this is wrong in my opinion, but some judges have said, well, if you don't know what's going on in a home or a house you own, which is a second home or third home, after 1 or 2 years, then clearly, you know, you're not really bothering too much about that property. So they might then send you to the civil courts.
Okay. It's a little harsh, you'd have to say, isn't it? You know, what if you've been ill? Exactly.
Exactly. It's your home. So, you know, it's a very fine... And the Supreme Court in Spain has tried to establish some parameters so that the judges could, you know, it's a guideline of the protocol, sort of a triage, you know, how to go about step one, step two, step three, depending on the circumstance. But it's very difficult because every case is unique. Another fake news is that if they have children, then they're going to be protected. No, if they have children, normally they bring the social services and they will take care of the children if that's necessary. But children doesn't lessen the criminality of an action like breaking into someone's home. Okay, this is very important.
Indeed.
That is fake news.
Exactly. And also, you know, I mean, there have been some, I'm not going to go politically on this, but there were sort of certain leanings, weren't they, to say, are these poor? Because we have been through a housing crisis, we've been through a cost of living crisis, and there was perhaps a certain segment of the political spectrum that were saying, oh, well, these, you know, these rich people have got their homes, so these, you know, the poor should be allowed to, you know, property is theft and all that, Antonio.
Yeah. You know, I mean, listen, there is a case there to answer that. I mean, I would say there is an argument from these very left-leaning political parties like Podemos, you know. I do share in a way that properties owned by banks by the hundreds that have been, you know, abandoned for years, people move into them if they haven't got any other housing you know, solution. They don't have anywhere else to go. So that's, in a way, that's almost taken out of the criminal law in favor of civil sort of response, a civil solution through without necessarily, you know, imposing charges on people. So every case will be different, and I do sympathize with that, of course. You know, and there's been situations in Spain, you know, people absolutely with no place to stay in other than under a bridge. They just move into a home that is owned by a bank. The banks don't pay the community fees. They don't pay the council tax. They don't do anything with these properties. And, you know, they move in and they just make use of them without necessarily damaging them. That cannot be a criminal. There cannot be a criminal response to that. So, in my opinion, so I do agree with them in that respect. But again, there have been also situations where we've seen people moving into other people's, you know, properties. And there was a very famous one of an old lady in a city in Spain. They moved into her home, and you know, they basically kicked her out. Anyway, the village came, or the city, or that neighborhood came out by the hundreds, and they demonstrated outside of the house, and they effectively kicked the squatters out.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think if you do get an association behind you and kick up such a fuss, then they because as you said, squatters normally you just want to have a quiet life and get on with it and not bother many people. I don't know if you watched, you probably don't because you've got a life. But if you watch Telethinco on a regular basis, they had some brilliant sort of exposés of some very high quality sort of mansions and stuff on the Costa del Sol that had been squatted in, and that was always entertaining value.
No, yes, exactly. And there was a very famous Cuban guy he was providing fuel to these you know, gangs in the north of Africa that were bringing drugs and stuff.
Yes,
he was using it as not only living it.
He was quite happy to talk to the TV crews as well, wasn't he? So that was quite something.
Well, you know, he felt protected. He felt that the system was in his. But, you know, the system is not always there for these situations, especially when he's doing things that are completely wrong. You know, he's actually running an illegal, he was a purveyor of petrol drug smugglers and other sort of illegal activities.
And just quickly, got another one coming in. If the property's been abandoned for over 50 years and you move in and redo the house, it doesn't make any difference about how long the property's standing open. It presumably stood empty 50 years, 100 years, whatever. You have that property, you know, you still can't move in and take over a house.
No, I mean, you're not supposed to, but the response will not necessarily always be a criminal one. It will be a civil one. If the house has been abandoned for 50 years, you know, who's going to say? The likelihood is that nobody's going to be asking. We always have to see that people who move in, the benefit they will have is they're going to have a free rent place, you know, because ownership is going to be very difficult to attain, unless, of course, they forged, you know, paperwork and go to the notary or something like this, you know, which I've also seen in this office. You know, we've seen it all. But claiming ownership, it's not the time it's been abandoned. It's the time of use of the person who moves in. Yeah, that's what makes a difference, which is 20 or 30 years.
And Tony, if people want to get more information and get rid of some fake news about squatters or anything else pertaining, where can they find you?
They can call us on 952-861-890, or they can email us on info@lawbird.com.
As always, Antonio Flores at Lawbird, thank you so much for your time today.
It's my pleasure.